Praise God. Well, let's, those of us who remain, those of us who are alive and remain, let us pray. Father, we are alive tonight and we remain. We know that you're alive tonight and you're within us. By your Spirit, you indwell us. We're thankful for that tonight. And Father, we just turn our eyes to Jesus. The Word says that if we'll keep our mind stayed and focused on him, that you'll keep us in perfect peace. And so we put our mind on Jesus tonight, who he is, what he's done for us, who he's made us to be, who we are in him. We put our focus on Jesus tonight. He is the author, he is the developer, the finisher of our faith, and he's the one who is for us and who's made all things possible. He's the one who's redeemed us. He's the one that set us free. And he's the one that causes us, because of what he did, we're able to live as overcomers in this earth. So we're looking and focused and looking unto Jesus tonight. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus tonight. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, you can be seated. You know, last Wednesday night, started a new series for the month of January. Thought it'd be a good way to start the year, talking about developing healthy spiritual habits. And we talked a little bit about habits and how God made us creatures of habit. And because, you know, getting into habits getting into like routines that are healthy and good for us can be real beneficial for us. And, you know, habit means how you live. What your habits are determine really how you live. And the one thing that really above just about any other thing that can determine your success in life, you know, is what your habits are. Your habits can determine whether you succeed in life or not. I mean, you have a person that has good, healthy habits in all the areas of their life. That person's more likely to be successful and to live longer and to have better relationships and do better financially and all than somebody that has very bad habits. And I mean, habits, you know, you don't just have habits like, in every area of your life, you have some kind of habits. You have financial habits, you have social habits, you have physical habits, you have all kind of habits. And a habit's basically a frequent repetition of the same act. And because God made us creatures of habit, it's good for us to look and say, what can we do to develop habits? Because every habit you have, you developed in some way. So looking here, it's the first of the year. We talked about that. It's a time people are examining various habits that they have and maybe trying to make some changes in them. But it's good for us to look and say, what about our spiritual habits? Have any of y'all resolved in the last, you know, few weeks you were going to change any habits in your life or make some new habits? Yeah, well, while you're considering all that, let's not forget to focus on spiritual habits and considering spiritual habits. Because, you know, one of the things that Paul prayed in one of the prayers he prayed there in Philippians is he prayed that we would be able to sense what is vital, what is necessary, one way you could say it, what is critical, that we would know. And the word vital really, you know, has the sense, anything that's vital, it means absolutely necessary for life. It, you know, the Latin word that the word vital comes from means life. And so that word vital means what's necessary for life. And so there are some things that are just necessary for life. And Paul said that he prayed that we'd be able to sense what is vital. I've read two things this week that kind of, both times I read that reminded me of what Paul prayed, both things I read. One of the things was about a doctor. Well, I'll tell the other one first. One of them was a lady had gone to a kind of on a health spa to a retreat. And she was there, and it was her habit, her custom to swim laps every day. Wherever she went, she'd find the pool and go swimming. So she went down to go swimming in the pool. When she got there, she found out a water aerobics class was going on. And it had just started, but she had already gotten her gear to swim and all, and she wasn't going to be able to swim. So she just decided to sit, you know, and read and wait till the class finished, and she'd be able to swim her laps. So she's sitting and waiting, and about halfway through the class, about a half hour into the class, she noticed come through the door a woman And there were several things about this woman that caught her attention. And one thing was, this woman was dressed in hot pink. She had on a hot pink bathing suit, a hot pink shoes, you know, high heels shoes, and a hot pink hat. And she comes prancing through the door all done up, going to swim. And this, you know, it wasn't like she just put on her suit. She was done up, probably had hot pink lipstick. She probably had the whole thing. You can see her. The other thing about this woman is she was obese, enormously obese, very overweight. So she comes in. So in my mind, there's a big pink tutu on an elephant coming in the door. But that's what she's describing. So this woman comes in. The class has been going for 30 minutes, and now she's arrived for this aerobics class. And so you would think somebody half hour late for a class would be rushing in trying to get everything ready. Now, well, the woman comes in and she walks over and puts down all of her paraphernalia, and she reaches into her bag and she pulls out this little kit. And she walks over to the edge of the pool and she dips a little tube into the pool and she brings it out and has this little paper, and she starts testing the water. Well, some of the people who were in the water doing the aerobics are like, you know, Eunice, what are you doing? And she said, I'm testing the chlorine level in the pool because I have read that chlorine, it can be bad for your skin if the pool has too much in it and can dry your skin out, and I don't want to dry out my skin. Now, here's the thing. You got this woman who is probably 150 pounds overweight. She's coming to a water aerobics class. She's a half hour late because she was putting on all her paraphernalia, getting herself all ready, coming down to the class, getting in the water here. You would think getting in the water and getting her heart rate up would be vital. But to her, she was avoiding any, she's going to stretch this out as long as she can, even get her a little strip out and dip. I mean, this is a health threat, but, you know, we got to see about the chlorine in the water. Do you understand how that could appear just to be a little bit off? And then I also read this week about a doctor, and this is kind of a sad thing. A doctor, he had a patient come in to visit him. The patient was in the advanced stages of lung cancer. As another lady came in advanced stages of lung cancer, and she came into his office, and she's all in an uproar and you know, all bothered and whatever. And he said, what's going on? She said, well, I got back the results for my cholesterol test, and it's at 221. What should we do about it? And she's just going on and on about how her cholesterol is 221, that was the level. And he's sitting there thinking, you're in the advanced stages of lung cancer and you're really concerned about this high, but not too, you know, not extremely high. He's just like trying to get all this in his mind. I mean, this woman's really on her last leg, so to speak. Well, 2 months later, this woman was dead, but not from anything the cholesterol caused. It was from the lung cancer. But it was just such a, you know, a strange thing to him. Here somebody's got something made, but they're focused on something that's really, in the scheme of things, trivial. And you know what? We can live our lives as Christians, and we can live that way. We can be focused on all these things and not be focused on what's absolutely necessary. So the things that I talked about last week and that I'm going to be talking about are things that I think are absolutely necessary. They're the things we should be focused on. And the other thing that I know about people is this: people get bored. Christians, I think, probably more than anybody, they get bored. They want something new, something different. They don't want, you know, let's go out and look for the newfangled revelation. It's what Paul talked about with people having itchy ears. Their ears get all in, they, you know, and I got to go find something else. Well, he prayed that we would all be able to sense what is vital. And in talking about these habits, my desire for all of us is that we would be able to sense what is vital. Now, last week we started off and we talked about a daily habit that we should all practice, that we should all acquire if we don't have. We talked about giving ourselves a habit. If you don't have it, you can give yourself this habit. And what was that habit? Who remembers? Who was here last Wednesday night, or you've heard the tape? How many? No, I'm serious. Raise your hand. I know Matt had us raise our hand 19 times, but one more time, it ain't going to hurt you. Okay. because I need to know who was here. Okay, let me just quickly go through some of the things we talked about. Well, actually, I'm not. We talked about prayer and why prayer was so vital. It was because it was necessary to maintain a relationship. You can't have an intimate relationship. Really, you can't have a healthy relationship without communication, and prayer is communicating with God. And, you know, that's primary in any relationship. And Christianity is about having a relationship. It's not about having a belief system. It's not about having a moral code. You do believe things and you do have some kind of moral code, I hope. But the reality is Christianity in its simplest explanation is it's about having a relationship. It's about being related to God, having a relationship with Him. And Him talking to us and us talking to Him is part of that relationship, and we call that thing prayer. So tonight, what I'd like to do is I was going off into my second habit, but actually I wrote out all my stuff, got all my notes ready for my second habit. I just kept tugging on me to go back to this. So we're going to go back to this, but we're going to do it a little different tonight. We're going to talk about what we talked about last week, which I called the Daily Seven in Prayer. Those of you who were here, I printed them out for you and gave them to you. Did anybody look at those since last Wednesday night? You don't have to raise your hand, but did you? Okay. We talked about seven things that really, and this is not some law and this isn't some, you know, new thing that we're, but these are just seven things that I know should be a part of your prayer life on a regular basis. If you can get to them all every day, great, but they should be part of your regular communication with God, and I gave you the scriptures behind them. But tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're still going to talk about these daily seven, but we're going to do it in a different way, and then we're going to practice them. But what I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity, because one of the most effective ways that people learn is by teaching. Have y'all ever noticed that? Does anybody know how these things work? Mike, do you? Because I'm not really sure how they work. If you could help me with that. One of the most effective methods of teaching is effective methods of learning is for people to teach. And so tonight, that's why I wondered who was here last week, because I'm going to need some of you to help me. Because we have seven things that we're, yeah, there you go. Good job, Pat. We have seven things that we learned. And so I'm just going to ask those of you who are comfortable doing it, I'm going to let you come up and tell about each thing. And that's why I have this up here. Are you back there, Rick? There we go. And so, I'm going to get my sheet here. I'm going to put them up here for you. The first daily habit that we talked about, the first thing you do, which Matt mentioned already tonight when we came in, was to unload your worries. And I gave you a scripture for it. If you want to go to that, it's the next one. Unload your worries. Do you have that? It's the next one, Deborah. Somewhere along here. It's coming. It's stuck somewhere between back there and up here. It's stuck. But anyway, who wants to come up and tell me what it means to unload your worries and maybe explain sometime that you unloaded yours? Who wants to start out? Mike, why don't you do that? You've had a few worries in your life. You ought to know all about this one.
I probably do this just about every morning, because on the way to work, I've got 20 minutes, a little more than 20 minutes to get there, so one of the things that we're talking about praying more this year is casting, you know, your care upon Him. And one of the easiest, I don't know why it's so easy for me in this kind of format. I mean, I know that I sang and all that, but before I leave the house, I was telling Claire the last few days, I've just been praying about, you know, God, just seeing that, really, just getting that out of the way kind of gets you get better focus when you somehow getting rid of all your casting all whatever you're worrying about out of the way. You can get focused on a lot of other things and really use your faith for a lot bigger things than just yourself. But one of the ways that it's really easy for me to do is singing. And man, on the way, I know that my family's sick of hearing this CD, but it does something for me. Oh boy, man. I mean, I get in there and I'm just like, if I could get somebody else to drive for me so I can move around and whatever, I'm at my hands and legs are kind of going every which way.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm just like, it's real easy for me to do that. And then when I get there, I've got 20 minutes of that on the way. I mean, and I'm praying before, you know, at the house before I've left, but I'm also going kind of crazy with the music there and singing and just thanking God that, you know, something's happened. Something's going to happen today. And if it doesn't happen today, you know, I'm not let down or whatever. But it's just a lot easier than that. For me, it is that way. I don't know how it might be something different for you. You know, maybe you don't like singing or whatever. But, man, when I start praising God, Blake, it's the focus off of the problem and everything real easy for me. And I can go on from that point.
Amen. That's great. Absolutely. Casting your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. And I really like what Mike said. It's something about doing that right up front helps you to focus in on other things instead of, because we all know that there's something that's, you know, in our mind, some concern or care that we all could latch hold of and just stay focused on. But if we can cast that away and really, you know, through praising God, what you're doing is what the Bible calls magnifying God. And magnifying God is not making God bigger. It's making God bigger in your sight. It's changing your perspective. Instead of the problem being this huge mountain, you see God is the big God that He is. And that's all part of casting your care over on the Lord. Praise God. Now, who wants to help us with the activate your faith? Am I going to have to pick volunteers here? Juva, why don't you come up? Were you here last week? Okay, well, you come on up and you help us out. Talked about Mark 11:24. Do you remember this?
Activating your faith. Well, trying to think the last. Well, I've activated my faith. I think I activated just about every day. basically, when I pray, it hasn't always been an easy task to believe God the moment that I'm praying, because it's sometimes easy just to see that problem or to see the circumstance. But I guess when I just really, really just focus in and allow myself, I guess, to cast all the cares, when I'm able to cast all those cares, it's easier for me to go in and then activate my faith, because I'm all just kind of hyped up and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I believe it. Lord, I don't care. Where's Tanya? Tanya sent me quote. She loves quotes. And there's a quote, there's this, I don't even know exactly where Tanya got it, but I can, every time I read it, I can hear her saying, I don't care what it looks like, I believe the word, is working, I believe that it's working for me, and it's working for me right now. And that helps to get me going. Whatever situation it is, whatever problem, circumstance, whatever, I'm able to activate my faith, because I'm able to just kind of speak it out and I talk it out. I guess talk it out so much until I know.
Yes. Amen. It was good, Juba. That's right. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And that's what you do in prayer, is it's your time you take hold. That word receive there is kind of deceiving, because it sounds like the word, you know, you just sit and wait for it to pop in your lap. But that word really means it's to take it. It's a word that doesn't, it comes over in English as receive, but if you really study that word, it's about taking it. You believe you take hold of it when you pray. And just like what you said, that quote you have there, I don't care about all this, but I believe it's mine. And you take hold of it. And that's what you do in prayer. After you cast your cares, or at the same time you cast in your cares, you take hold of what it is that God's promised you. And He's made lots and lots of promises to you. So you take hold of them. And you believe that you receive them. And like Juva said, you may have to kind of talk yourself into it a little bit. And you talk. That's what we do. We take God's word and talk to ourselves, talk ourselves into it from the word. We let the word persuade us. Like Abraham let God's words persuade him, we let God's word persuade us until we believe it. And we believe we have it when we pray. Praise God. Well, the third point is surrender yourself. And y'all remember Jesus said the Garden of Gethsemane is the best example I know of this. But this needs to be a regular part of your prayer life, because your prayer life isn't just about you unloading. It's not about just about you getting. It's about you surrendering yourself so you can work with God and He can work in you and work through you. Surrendering yourself, you could say submitting yourself, yielding yourself, consecrating yourself, any of those words would work. But y'all remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says, and when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. And that cup was representing what he was about to go through the crucifixion. And he said, take this away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's part of our prayer life, yielding ourselves to his will, recognizing our will is not the only will that there is. Janice, why don't you get up and share about surrendering yourself?
I did that
too. Step right behind it so we get on the tape.
Part of what I did this morning was there was a situation that came up that really sounded really serious and involved somebody in the church. And when it came up and I was discussing it with somebody, after I hung up the phone, you know, I started laughing. And I was consciously making a decision that I was surrendering myself, not what I thought about it, not how big and bad it looked to me, because I couldn't do anything about it anyway. I was surrendering everything I thought about it to what God's Word said about it. And He said that at destruction and famine, if you knew the situation, it fits real good. I'll laugh. But He laughs. When it's destruction and famine, He laughs. And so I just really had a laughing party. And it wasn't something I was putting on. I surrendered me over to what His Word has to say about it. And then once I started doing that, then scriptures just kept coming to me, right and left, things that I hadn't thought about, and even things that I had known in the natural. I'm just going to tell what happened. I started thinking about when Brother Hagin was here, the last few years he was here. I mean, all this came out of the laughter. People would spend a lot of money to fly to long places away to sit in one of Brother Hagin's meetings. And then the funny thing was, the whole meeting was laughing. I mean, people weren't going to necessarily hear him teach, or when you got there, it wasn't about teaching. And he wasn't really instructing us, but he was instructing us. And the laughter just all balled up into, you know, maybe 2007 is the reason that we had the Holy Ghost meetings. Maybe He did that to show us the way to get through 2007. Because, it may not be real easy to get through 2007. But, you know, it can be real easy, because a lot of times the pressure of it becomes because you don't surrender. And when you do surrender, it's very much like casting your care on the Lord. When you do surrender, then you see things through His perspective, and you see things through His eyes. And the seriousness comes on us when we start trying to do things on our own, or thinking that it's our responsibility, or we're the big deal in this. We're not the big deal in this. He's the big deal. And we just listen to Him. Now, I don't know if that's totally what you're talking about, the surrendering kind of deal or not, but that is surrendering. And I've learned, and particularly already in this year, it's not just that I just get up in the morning and surrender. I just place myself in a place of surrender. And so when the situation comes up, it's not really a struggle for me, and I don't feel the pressure of it, because I've already surrendered myself to be in His will, in the place that He wants me to be, and not just be there and be stuck there, but be open to his wisdom and his guidance and the things, the way he is showing me on an individual basis, what do you do in this situation? How do you handle this situation? So surrendering has become more of a ongoing thing to me than it ever has been. Just whatever it is, when it comes up, instead of me thinking my thoughts, I just stop and I surrender myself and I say, what is it you think? And so many times those questions are answered by scriptures coming to me, which is what happened this morning. The word says, at destruction and famine, God laughs. So I thought to myself, so why would you get so upset about it? If he laughs, why would you get upset about it? I don't know if that answered your question or not, but that's what happened this morning.
What's helped me so much in my life to surrender to God's will is when the day came where I realized that his will for me, the end of whatever it is he's asking me to do or leading me to do, the end of it is a really good thing. The Bible says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the end of what he's asking me to do is better than what it was I wanted to do, the end of that thing. His end is always going to be better. The rewards are going to be greater. And he knows. He knows what's going to make all of us happy and content, bring us the most joy. So if we follow him, it's not like he's leading us into a bad place. It's not like he's trying to take us into something that's painful and harmful and for our detriment. He's taking us to something that is good. It's gonna have a payoff that's good. And that helps me to follow his will, because I'm like, you're smarter. I'll just do what you say. Yeah. Well, here we go. But that's something you need to do, like Jan's talking about. That's something that's a continual part of your life. It's not just something that, you know, when you take communion, then you're going to surrender yourself and bring your will into line with his. That's a part of your ongoing talking with him. What is it you want me to do? The fourth one in our daily seven is own up to your failures. Own up to your failure. And we got a volunteer. Come forward. 1 John 1:9, I'll just say the scripture where you come. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Are you going to own up to something? No, I'm just kidding. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
No, I'm good at this one. I was thinking this one ever since you started. So, I don't know. I love that we can receive grace from God for anything that we do that doesn't measure up to his standard. And I've received so much grace from him in my life. I used to be one of these people that would I use the F word like every other word. And I seriously would. I don't think you would guess that, which is why I would say that. But I really actually liked that word. You really liked it. But anyway, so then when I started getting back to my relationship with God, I mean, there was a lot of other things I did too. I'm not going to talk about that. But when I started getting back to my relationship with the Lord, I was like, you know, he won't, you know, how can he ever give me anything good? How can, you know, I'm just not, you know, I had this not worthy thing going on a lot. And then he brought my husband Ben into my life, and he was like the greatest gift from God that I have. I mean, I'm not, he's not here, but he was just like, because Ben had, you know, I had been with, you know, a lot of different boyfriends and stuff like that, and he had never touched another woman. Like, he never held anyone's hand, and he was just like, I mean, I remember when I knew he was my gift, like a gift from God, and it was like when I had first come back to my relationship with God that I met Ben, and that he, like, liked me and stuff, and so I was like, you know, I can't believe that God would give me this, you know, after everything that I have done and how impure I felt. And I don't know, God is just so good. He will forgive you for anything. And he's just, you know, and a lot of times I think we confess our sins. It's not as big of, I mean, it is a problem if you don't think you sin. That's a big problem. But if you are more like me and you like have this overbearing sin consciousness, then it's like you block yourself from receiving God's blessings.
Yeah.
Because he wants to give you all these things and you're like, I don't deserve that, you know. So that's just really bad, and you need to believe him. Because you're just, if you don't believe that he's really gonna, I mean, if you don't believe that verse that he is forgiving you, that he did, you know, he did forgive you. And that's the biggest thing he ever did for you, was forgive you for everything. I mean, okay, I should say one more thing like this. Like, I was just reading the Bible this last week, and I was reading the part where Jesus heals this paralytic guy. And, you know, you think that this guy's laying out in front of him, and he's this paralytic, you know, he can't move. And the first thing Jesus says to him is, your sins are forgiven. You know, and I just thought, he didn't say, I was just kind of struck by that because, you know, and then the Pharisees are like, you know, oh, I can't believe he's healing someone, or he thinks he can forgive sins. And then Jesus heals them. And it's like, he saw the deepest need, the first need that guy needed, more than being able to walk, was being able to know that his sins were forgiven. So, anyways, I thought it was really cool. And, yeah, that's it.
That's great. Thank you. Praise God. The fifth one of our daily seven, that's something, you know, an ongoing thing just to keep yourself, you know, tuned up, so to speak. But the fifth one is get your marching orders. This is part of our daily habits and prayer. Just get our marching orders. And that's where you find what it is God wants you to do. And the scripture have for that is, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And I told you last week, New Living says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. Now, who wants to talk about this? Charlene? No? Okay. Well, Claire, why don't you come up? You have to, did you even hear the message? It doesn't matter. You can talk about how you get wisdom. Claire is our children's director of children's ministries here, and she has to get a lot of wisdom.
That's what I'm praying every morning is for wisdom. You know, when you're busy and raising kids and have responsibility to teach kids the gospel and just to live your life, we need wisdom. And that's one of my favorite verses in James, where he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, just ask, and God gives generously. And sometimes we wait too late. You know, we could have used the wisdom a lot sooner. And I think sometimes we save that, or we just don't do it until something is pressing on us. And then all of a sudden, oh, God, what do I do? What do I do? Yeah. When all the time, all along the way, every day, the Holy Spirit's trying to get wisdom to us in if we'll just listen, you know, and just recognize that there is divine wisdom and ask for it. In the simplest things, you know, where am I supposed to be today? Where do you want, you know, I have my agenda and my list of things I need to do, and I've got this to go to and that, and then I've got to go. But to be able to, like Mike says in the very beginning of the day, surrender all of your plans and say, God, what is it you have for me to do? And, you know, like Janice talked about, surrendering is trusting. And saying, God, I know all the things in the natural I think need to be done, but I need your wisdom. Show me what's vital. What do I need to do? And he'll change your plans sometimes. And it's through that wisdom, the wisdom of God, that change of plans, if you'll listen and you'll obey, that you'll wind up in a much better place. And I remember one service, it's a long time ago, and Pastor Matt had asked, you know, if you could ask God for anything, what would you ask him for? And so on the way home from church, I asked my kids, you know, if you could have anything, if you could ask God for anything, what would you ask for? And I remember our oldest son, Eric, he just sat quiet for a long time, and he said, wisdom. You know, wisdom. You know, we'd like all like to have the answer to everything. We have it available to us if we'll just ask for it. There's none of us that should lack wisdom in anything, in the smallest things, because you get wisdom in the small things, and you do the small things that make the difference for the greater things. So thank God that He gives generously.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. Okay.
If you pray in the Spirit, you get wisdom when you don't even know you're getting wisdom. And you get wisdom for things that are coming up. And I recently, sometime in a short time back, I spent a lot of extra time just praying in the Spirit. I mean, that's the only thing I know to do when the water gets higher than my head is I don't know any other thing to do is just nestle up and pray in the Spirit. And at the beginning of December, a scripture came to me that I really had not paid that much attention to before. And this is the reason I'm saying that. It was my marching orders for this year. And when it came to me, I realized on the inside it was something explosive about it. But it's been so strong. The scripture that came to me was the one in Philippians 1, 9, and 10 about that you may surely come to know and recognize those things that are vital. And it so got into me that I don't even consciously think about it. Anything that comes up, I'm already putting that into it. Is this vital or necessary? That's how strong it impacted me. It is to influence my thinking now. Everything I do is, that's the judgment line that it passes through. I just automatically consider, is this a necessary thing or is this a vital thing? And the reason I wanted to say something is, I know that was my marching orders for this year. And it has impacted every part of my life. Every day, all during the day, it impacts every decision I make. And I look at things totally from a different perspective. Now, that came from praying in the Spirit. So there's tremendous wisdom that comes to you when you don't even know what you're praying. And lots of times you don't even know what to pray about. You don't have a clue what to pray about. But there's a tremendous benefit. There's every benefit. There's the peace that comes to you. And when the marching orders come, you do surely know how to recognize them, and you know that they're vital.
Praise God. The next one is, number 6, is to stock the shelves with God's power. In James chapter 5, we were just talking about James 1. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says in the Amplified Bible, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." And there's, we talked about, well, the reason I say stock the shelves with God's power, I'd given the example last week of you go into a store, you go into Walmart, you go into the grocery store, and there, you know, we all know tonight there's food available, there's merchandise available. But when you go into the Walmart, if the shelves were empty and everything was back in the warehouse in a box somewhere, it'd be difficult for you to get it or tap into it. How convenient it is to walk in and just be surrounded with all the products that you need, and all you got to do is just, you know, shove them in your cart. That's how you do it, isn't it, Mike? You get to that ice job and you just shove it in the cart. Mike and one of my daughters, Molly Anna, have this love affair going with Ice Java, and he got one of my kids hooked on it, and so they go in and they clean out the shelves like that. But, you know, how wonderful that is when they're stocked, and how disappointing it is if you go in to get what it is you want and it's not there. But we, through prayer, can stock the shelves. That's what we do. We make the power available. Well, really, Jesus made the power available. But we can make it, you know, he gave us right to it. He gave us access to the power of God by what he did. And the power of God, the gospel is the power of God, but we can have access to it. And most importantly, I think, we can make it available to other people. And through prayers of supplication, through prayers of intercession, those are prayers we pray for other people, praying that people will be supplied, supplication, supply, and that they'll make their supply. And interceding, that's standing in the gap between somebody that judgment's coming on them and we're pushing back that judgment, standing in the gap for them. And we can do that, make that power available by praying. Now, did anybody want to share anything about this? Patty?
And stock the shelves with God's power. Boy, that's bright.
Yeah.
I just want to share an experience that happened on New Year's Eve, and it was the prayer that we had here at the church. And I came in, I couldn't stay long, maybe about 30 minutes, because I was on my way to Jumbo 7, which I really wanted to be at, but I wanted to pray first. And I think it was Nancy Dufresne, the video that you showed not long ago that had this scripture,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, makes tremendous power available. And she had told this story about seeing something when she prayed. Well, I went into the prayer, and Gary had handed out a list, and he said, we're going to pray for these needs on this paper. And he said, so go through the paper. And I'm looking at it, and I'm reading it. It's a lot of different things. And I'm like, I don't know what to pray. You know, and I said, Lord, there's a lot of things on here. And I don't know what's vital or what I need to pray. There's a lot of people praying. So I decided I'm just going to lay my hand on this paper and pray in the Spirit. And Lord, you lead me. What do you want me to pray? And so I did that, and I was praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I was seeing pictures of situations, and people were in a situation. And there were five different ones, but I'll share one. I didn't recognize any people. But one of them was, there was a lady, and she was standing like in a field, and then there was a forest in front of her, and there were trees, and then there was an open space, and she's just kind of looking up. And I'm kind of looking down at her, and I can see everything. And it's just all of a sudden I knew that she needed direction, and she was trying to decide which way to go in her life. And I just started praying for that. And it just came so freely. The prayer just came out so freely, and I saw everything and exactly what it was she needed. And I prayed it, and all of a sudden everything was fine, and I felt a release, and it kind of faded out, and then I saw another situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened five times. And I didn't think about it until later. Well, first off, it just made me feel like, wow, this is awesome. You know, I'm seeing this, and I'm praying it, and I knew it was God. But I felt like that prayer, it was coming from the Spirit, and that was that power that was being made available for those people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it wasn't anything, the only thing, it wasn't me, it was because it was the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues and seeing that. But praying in the Spirit does make tremendous power available to other people, not only to their lives, but to your own life.
Yes,
because it builds you up. It causes you to see those mysteries, and the Lord will lead and guide you in how, where you're going to go and what you need to do or pray for other people.
Praise God. So. Amen. Well, thanks for sharing. Yeah, the idea that we all know what everybody needs is kind of an arrogant idea. You know, like, I'm going to pray for Pat, and so I know what Pat needs, so I'm going to pray for it. And the reality is, if we'll follow the Holy Spirit as we pray, He knows exactly what it is Pat really does need, and He'll enable me to pray and ask Him for it. And, you know, make supplication for her. And as I do, it'll make it available in her life. It actually helps other people when we pray for them. So that's part of our daily prayers. It's not just praying for you or you. It's praying for, I mean, you know, not just praying for yourself, but praying for other people. Mike? Yeah. Yeah. Now we have the PS on them, yes.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I mean, I'm looking at that, and I just think about how that really, you can't put that any better than what it is, where it says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. There's a lady that I work with, and it's been about 3 weeks ago, and she has a little girl, and she's been wanting to get pregnant, and she's had miscarriages in the past. Well, she tried to get a hold of me, didn't know my number, because she knows, they all know I'm born again. I talk about it all the time. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And so she's asking me, she says, man, I can hardly wait till you got to work this day, you know, because she wanted to take me outside and she wanted to tell me what was going on, you know. Well, she told me, you know, she's been bleeding on the inside and she's pregnant right now, but there's some problems there. So, you know, we went outside and, you know, I just put my arm around her and we prayed. And, you know, I mean, there is so much truth to that about being heartfelt and continued, because yeah, we hear all the time, it's not, you're not going through some kind of formula here. You know, God says to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and you'll get your answer. So I've been praying for her every day, and I put it in the, you know, I gave life card. And today, she was telling me again, she went to the doctor, and she had been, you know, like I said, she had been bleeding, and there were some other problems there. She went to the doctor, there's nothing there. She's completely healed. And I said, you know, I've been praying for you every day since the day I prayed for you out in the parking lot. We're out in the cold praying. But you know what? God, she knew, you know, you and I are all the same. We're all believers. We all have the same power available to us to minister to other people. And it was just, it not only just confirmed some things for me, but I meant, man, how good is that for somebody who, she's just like, man, you know, if I knew his number, I'd call him at home. Well, I made sure I gave her my cell phone number. If she needs anything else, she can call me. I told her don't hesitate to call, but it is. You know, I mean, and it's, you know, I mean, sometimes you just want to go through the ritual of just praying, but there is something about a heartfelt prayer.
Yes.
I mean, she knows I care about her. I love the people that I work with.
Yeah.
and she knows that. You know, it wasn't like, oh, God, just, you know, heal her and, you know, we're done. I mean, I'm out there and we're like, oh, God, I'm expecting you to do something on her behalf. And I've been praying every day for her. I'm just thanking God for that. I mean, this is a big deal in her life. So praise God. I mean, she got her answer and just thanking God every day. And I told her to do the same thing. You thank God every day that things, even though that you know, it's better. You just continue to thank God that, you know, okay, now it's better, but now you're going to have a great pregnancy. You're not going to have any problems all the way through. And you're going to have a healthy baby. So praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's stocking the shelves, brother. Ooh. And then the last one is to reminisce and rejoice. And I just include the scripture where over in Acts when Peter and John were threatened and they went back to their group to pray, they remembered the things God had done for them. And I tell you, if you read through the Psalms, a lot of those are prayers. And so many of them, they're just rehearsing the things God's done. They're reminiscing about the things that He's done. They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And they just went through that and prayed. And really, that's part of what we do I talked about last week, just getting together with God, talking things over with Him that have happened, how good He's been to you, rehearsing it, and rejoicing over what He's done. Another word for that would be praise or thanksgiving. Praise God. Well, I think we're going to stop right there and not have anybody share about that, because I want to leave us some time to actually put into practice, because not only are we hearers of the Word, we're also doers of the Word. And so you may not have had an opportunity for whatever reason to, what are you doing? I didn't know you were giving me the signal. you may not have had an opportunity to kind of pray through these seven things. And like I've said several times, it's not about doing them all every time like some kind of ritual, but these elements should be in your regular prayer life. And we're talking about habits. We're talking about the habit of prayer. And it's easy to get up as a minister and say, y'all need to pray. You need to pray. But what I'm trying to do is I'm attempting to show you how to pray without giving you some kind of a number, you know, do this and then do this. These are just the elements that should be in. Then I'm calling them the daily seven of prayer. This really goes right very well with what Matt's been talking about on Sunday mornings. Last Sunday, talked about the benefits of prayer. I tell you, getting a little prayer seminar going on here in January. Praise God. So what we're going to do, yeah, there they are up there. What we're going to do is I'm just going to encourage you, because we're not going to do corporate prayer where I lead you in prayer, because that's not what daily prayer is about. Daily prayer is about you talking to God for yourself. And so what I'm going to do is just encourage you for these next 10 minutes or so. I want you to get up, some of you, and spread out around the room so you can talk to God from your heart and not be concerned about what the people around you are thinking about. And I'm going to get Rick to play us a little bit of music back there. And we're going to pray. I'm going to leave these up here. So if you need to refer to these, and these are the things that you should be focused in on now as we pray. You can do what you want to with them and pray, but just spread out if you want to. And you're welcome to come up here if you want to come up here and kneel. I know that's sometimes helps you kind of posture yourself in a place of surrender before God, and you're welcome to come up and kneel here and pray, whatever you want to do. But just going to spend these next few minutes praying. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just close this time of prayer tonight. Was rejoicing over what you have done, the things you've spoken to us. We rejoice because you have forgiven us and you've cleansed us tonight. Oh, because you've received the dedication of our lives. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you tonight for who you are. And we're so thankful tonight. We remember things you've done for us, things that seemed impossible. In times it looked real dark. In times it was dark. But you brought light. You shined bright light. You delivered us. You made a way where there was no way. Because you are the way maker. And we praise you tonight as our way maker. We praise you tonight for making ways for us. We praise you tonight. We rejoice. We rejoice that we're in your hand. And there's no man, there's no enemy, there's no evil thing that can take us out of your hand. Because we're in our Father's hand and he cares for us. You care for us. We rejoice tonight. We rejoice tonight in the fact that the greater one lives within us. And it's the greater one that rises up, lives big in us, and puts us over. It's the greater one that empowers us whenever we face obstacles and situations that we don't know what to do with. The greater one is within us, and we rejoice tonight in the greatness of our God. Hallelujah. And the willingness of our great God to show himself strong in our behalf. We rejoice in that tonight. We rejoice tonight that the enemy's been defeated, that the enemy's under our feet. Hallelujah. We rejoice tonight that every plan that the enemy's made for us, that the power of God is able to overcome and to deliver us and to set us completely free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we rejoice tonight. We just join in with you, Father. We know that you laugh at the destruction of the evil one. You laugh when your enemies are on the prowl. You laugh because you know it'll come to naught. So we just rejoice. Ha, 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 ha on the devil. Ha, ha, ha on the plans of the enemy. Ha, 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 we say ha, ha, ha on the evil one. Ha, ha, ha on the lies of the enemy. Ha, ha, ha on that which the enemy's authored. Ha, ha, ha on strife and envy. Ha, ha, ha on rebellion. Ha, ha, ha on sickness. Ha, ha, ha on pain. Ha, 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 ha on poverty and lack and, oh, any evil thing. We just laugh at you. Ha, ha, ha. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we rejoice tonight. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha on division. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Father. Give you praise. Thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. Thank you tonight for you're so good. You are so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray the things that we've prayed tonight. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus because we know that it's in his name we have authority. It's in his name that we have authority. And so in the power and the authority of that name, we pray. We know that as we've prayed according to your word, you've heard us. So we can be assured that we have the petitions we've asked of you, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I like that, whether you did or not. Amen. Praise God. We'll see you.